Proverbs chapter 4, to be found on page 638. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
So, as you can see, it's never too late to achieve great things. And I'm going to tell you about some more other people who achieved great things later in life. Priscilla Setieni, a great-great-grandmother and former midwife in Kenya, enrolled in primary school at the age of 90. Jessamine Scusa smelled smoke from her neighbour's flat in Bristol one evening. She forced her way in, she dragged him to safety before the fire could take hold, and she was awarded a Royal Humane Society Bravery Award at the age of 92. Dorothy Davenhill Hirsch, aged 89, became the oldest person to visit the North Pole in 2004. Dr. Leila Denmark, an American pediatrician, was still working until her retirement in May 2001 at the age of 103. She went on to live until she was 114. Yuichiro Miura, an 80-year-old Japanese mountaineer, reached the summit of Mount Everest in 2013 And incredibly, he did it after heart surgery. He first climbed Everest when he was 70, and again at 75. After his last climb, he said, "I think three times is enough." Moakeet from South Africa became the oldest bungee jumper at age 96. Bertha Wood had her first book published on her 100th birthday. The book is based on her memoirs, which she began writing at the age of 90. And Ron Jones from Wales is Britain's oldest poppy seller at age 99. So my theme this morning is a life lived full and well. I have a question for you, but I'm afraid you're only allowed to answer it if you're 65 or over. Please, turn to the person next to you and answer this question. What is the secret? What is the secret to a life lived full and well? I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that. So, would anyone like to call out any top tips for living full and well?
Keep working.
Keep working. Great. Thanks, Vic. Obeying God, doing what God wants you to do, yes? Be content. Great. Anything else? Yes. Keep learning. Excellent. Anything else?
Never settle.
Never settle. Great. Someone?
Keep positive.
Wonderful. Well, Good Housekeeping magazine interviewed several people who'd reached the age of 100, and they asked them, what is your top tip for living well? I have to say their answers were a little less spiritual than yours. Somebody said drinking tea. Someone else said eating ice cream. Sleeping was a good one. Dancing. And perhaps the most, it's too late for me and some of us anyway, staying single is the best way to live long. So you can take your pick from any of those. We're going to have a look now at this chapter 4 of Proverbs. So please do have it open in front of you as we're going to be referring to it. It's page 638 if you've closed it or haven't opened it yet. And Steve told us last week that the book of Proverbs was written primarily for young people. It's a collection of wise sayings written by older people for the benefit of those generations coming after them. And in this passage, repeatedly we see how children and young people are encouraged to listen to their parents or those who are older than them. In verse 1, it says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding." In verse 4, "Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live." In verse 10, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many." And then in verse 20, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words." And the first thing I'd like to say this morning is that God loves it when we pass on the good news of Jesus to those younger than ourselves. In Psalm 78, it says, "He planted a witness in Jacob, set his word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children, so the next generation would know, and all the generations to come know the truth and tell the stories, so their children can trust in God." Why do parents instruct their children? Well, it's because they want them to learn from their own experience and possibly even from their own mistakes, so that they will have a better life than they did. And no matter how young or old you are, there will always be someone younger than you that you can share your story with of what God has done for you. At the heart of this passage is one of my absolute favourite verses. It's verse 18. And it says, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." In the Message version, it says, "The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine." So how do we shine more brightly? I'm going to suggest two ways from this fourth chapter of Proverbs, which will point us in the right direction. And the first one, from verses 5 and 7, is get wisdom. A few weeks ago, when we were doing our series on spiritual gifts, Steve spoke to us about the gift of wisdom. And he defined it as the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. And what much of the book of Proverbs is about is this need to make wise choices between good and evil. Those practical, everyday decisions which will build us up or bring us down. In Proverbs chapter 19, we're told that the one who gets wisdom loves life. So it makes sense that if we want to live life full and well, we should take notice of this advice. And this chapter gives an insight into some of the benefits of being wise. Note that in this passage and throughout Proverbs, wisdom is often given its own identity and it's personified and referred to as she. First of all, in verse 6, we're told that if we're wise, we'll be protected. She will protect you. She will watch over you. Or in the Message version, it says she will keep her eye on you. Chapter 28 in Proverbs says that those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. In other words, being wise is the safest way to live. Secondly, verse 8 tells us that if we're wise, we'll be raised up and honoured. She will exalt you. She will honour you. Or in the Message it says she will make your life glorious. This verse echoes 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, where God says, "Those who honour me, I will honour." In other words, being wise is the most fulfilling way to live. And thirdly, in verse 12, we're told that if we're wise, our lives will be easier. And who doesn't want an easier life? We read that your steps will not be hampered. You won't stumble. We'll make good decisions. In other words, being wise is the easiest way to live. So to sum up, being wise is the safest way to live, the most fulfilling way to live, and the easiest way to live. In the light of that, who wouldn't want to be wise? But how do we get wisdom? Well, the answer is very simple. We ask for it. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And while you're at it, as well as asking for yourself, pray for others to get wisdom too. In Colossians 1, we read this wonderful prayer of Paul's. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." And in Ephesians 1, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." If you're ever stuck as to how to pray for someone, and it does happen sometimes, doesn't it? Pray that God will give them wisdom and you'll never go wrong. But it's no good asking God for wisdom unless we also take the time to listen to his response. It It's important to take time out every day, as many of us do, to spend time with God, reading, reflecting on his word, listening to him in prayer, not just coming to him with a list of our own requests. This is not easy, but it does improve with practice. I've recently started spending 5 minutes in silent prayer every morning, and I'm gradually getting better at slowing down and allowing space for God to show me what's on his mind rather than me telling him what's on mine. This idea of making space for silence on a regular basis is part of the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course, which we're running in September and October. Do sign up if you think you would benefit from this. But if you're not available on a Monday night, or if this is not a good time for you to do this course, then you can always read the book that goes with it. And maybe that would be a good way for you to make more space to listen to God and receive his wisdom. So, we've looked at why it's a good idea to get wisdom and how we can do that. And the second piece of advice that we can take from this chapter is in verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. In biblical language, the heart is the center of the human spirit or being, including the mind, and from which spring emotions, thoughts, motivations, and our will. Why is it important to guard our hearts? Well, the answer comes in the second part of this verse, because everything you do flows from it. If we don't look after our hearts, everything we think or say or do will suffer as a result. And our hearts, I'm sure you would agree, are notoriously unreliable. In Luke 6:45, we read that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If we store up good things in our hearts, our words and our thoughts and our actions will be good. So how do we do this? How do we guard our hearts? Well, again, in this passage, there are some clues to help us. And firstly, in verse 24, we're reminded to be careful about what we say. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. In other words, avoid gossip. Avoid white lies. Avoid careless banter or chit-chat. Several weeks ago, when Mark was speaking about how to grow our relationships, he talked about this. He talked about the need to choose what we say, to choose to say things which are going to build people up rather than bring them down. We have control over that. When I was young, I had a friend, and he was not a very chatty person. He didn't say much. What he said was really worth listening to. And I once talked to him about this, and he said, "If you haven't got anything positive to say, then don't say anything at all." Secondly, in verse 25, we're encouraged to be careful about what we look at. Keep your eyes straight ahead. If you think about the thousands of images that you see every day, that you look at every day, are they all helpful? Are they all necessary? Are they all healthy? Would Jesus be impressed with the things that you're looking at? In Hebrews 12, we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus. And thirdly, verses 26 and 27 encourage us to be careful about where we go. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Do not turn to the right or the left. Or in the message, it just says, watch your step. This may refer literally to where we go, Or it may refer to how we spend our time and energy. Do our priorities reflect the fact that Jesus is Lord of our life? These are very practical suggestions as to how we can guard our hearts. And it's very easy to begin each day with a simple prayer. Lord, please be in charge of what I say, what I look at, and where I go today. But we can also take positive steps to fill our hearts and our minds with good things. We can choose to focus on positive things, and we can resist negative attitudes. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul encourages us, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Another way to fill our hearts with good things is to remember all those things which God has done for us already in our lives. Moses encouraged the Israelites to do this too. He said, be careful and watch yourselves closely to see that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Again, we have that encouragement to teach our children what God has done for us. And I love that phrase, fade from your heart. Often, unless we make an effort to remember something, it does just slip away and we forget it. This is why it's such a good idea to keep a journal, or at least note down answers to prayer or particular verses or words that God has brought to your attention. About 18 months ago, Steve preached, and he was speaking about the importance of taking time to listen to God when we pray. And he encouraged us to begin to keep a journal. So I did, because I'm very obedient and I do what I'm told by the leadership. And I started writing a journal. Now, I don't write in it every day, but I do quite often write in it. I write verses that have particularly struck me. I write down people that I'm praying for. I write down answers to prayer. I write down things that I'm reading in books at the time. And the wonderful thing about writing stuff down is that you benefit twice. First of all, when you're writing it, you benefit. It does you good just to focus your mind on what it is that you feel God has brought to your attention. But then a couple of weeks or months or even years later, when you're flicking back, you read it again and you think, yes, that's right. So God speaks to you again a second time. So it's a double blessing. There's another really well-known verse which contains the phrase, guard your heart. I wonder if anyone can tell me what that verse is. Somebody at 9 o'clock got the book right, which was brilliant. Yeah, exactly. Well done, Derek. It's in Philippians 4, verse 7, and you'll know this verse. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because the fact is that we don't have to struggle away at guarding our hearts in our own strength. God does it for us. He gives us his peace. And his peace guards our hearts and our minds. So if we get wisdom and we guard our heart, we will be sure to live life full and well. And the great news is that God does it for us. He gives us wisdom when we ask, and he gives us his peace to guard our hearts. We started with a video clip of people, over 100, doing something extraordinary. And as we draw to a close, I'd like to introduce you to someone who at the age of 102 is still living a full and happy life.
Thank you. I don't think I've got anything for you to repair at the moment.
Oh, you haven't?
Not at the moment.
Oh, that's a good job.
At the age of 102, Bob Wayton is still writing books and articles.
and enjoying woodwork in his spare time. He was an engineer, as well as a teacher and missionary. Now he's never happier than when constructing something new, preferably from recycled materials. How does he view the way society is developing?
I think we shall have to work longer. I feel that I could have carried on in the work I was doing for at least another 5 years without any trouble whatsoever. After all, I'm going to give a lecture on Wednesday at 102, which I shall enjoy, and I hope other people will.
Bob's morning routine includes time spent in prayer and reading. He compares life to a tapestry we weave for ourselves.
When you're past your most active period in life, there are people growing up who have never heard of you, and your friends die, and nobody remembers that you were once the CEO of this company or whatever. So rather than unravel, that big holes begin to appear in the tapestry.
Since I took on the role of associate pastor in May of this year, one of the things that I've most enjoyed is getting to know the members of our church family, and particularly the older members. My aim is to visit everyone over 65 over the next couple of years, and I decided to start with the oldest. Now, that's not as easy as it may sound, because when you become a church member, you don't give your date of birth. So there has been a certain amount of guesswork involved. But over the last few months, I've got to know several people in their 90s and late 80s. And if you're in your 90s and I haven't got in touch, please come and let me know. Many of these people have made it their goal to get wisdom and guard their hearts over many years of following Jesus. And as a result, they glow with light. And the longer they live, the brighter they shine. There are people who pray faithfully and regularly for us all. For example, during the summer exam period or during Frinton Mission Week. There are those who support and mentor families and couples within the church. There are those who care day after day for their spouse or family member, consistently putting their needs before their own. And there are those who share their faith with whoever they come into contact with, even if they're housebound or ill. If you are one of those people, can I encourage you to persevere, to keep going, knowing that God loves you and is pleased with you? Can I encourage you to say with the psalmist, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." And if you have a particular story or a testimony that you'd like to share, please do let me know so that we can interview you. It doesn't have to be up here at the front. We can do a video interview. But it's so encouraging to hear stories of how people is at work, God is at work in people's lives throughout our church family. And whenever you share your story, you can be sure that you'll bless someone else. And if you would like to make it your ambition to glow with light and to shine more brightly the longer you live, can I encourage you to get to know some of the older members of our church family, to listen to their stories and be built up by their experiences of a faithful God? In Deuteronomy, it says, "Ask your elders and they will explain to you." And this doesn't mean church leaders, elders. This means anyone who's older than you. In Psalm 92, there's a wonderful verse which says, "They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." And one way to ensure that this happens is to get wisdom and guard our hearts, so that we too can live life full and well.